As you make your way back to your seats, we welcome everyone to the house of the Lord. Got several phone calls and text messages this morning, yesterday, different people that weren't able to be here for different reasons, and we're glad you're here. How many are glad you're in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Glad to be. Well, let's just all give the Lord a hand clap of praise for being in the house of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thursday, we kind of began looking at Isaiah chapter 9. And you will not have needed to have been here Thursday or in the first part of our service today to understand the message that will go forth here today in our celebration service. It'll stand alone by itself. But if you would like to kind of hear the messages maybe that you missed, you can get on our website and find those sermons there. The miracle of the Christmas story that we are even now in the throes of this holiday season. The miracle of the Christmas story is that the timeless God of eternity would constrict himself and enter our world through the womb of a woman. This child, this son was spoken of, this son was prophesied about concerning by a man by the name of Isaiah, some 700 to 800 years before Christ's birth. Bear with me today. We preached in our leadership meeting before service and then Christian Living Service and then today. And so I'm gonna give you what I have left, all right? But this prophet by the name of Isaiah would speak prophetically concerning the Messiah that would come and of Christ's birth that would behold, and he speaks futuristically. Isaiah prophetically speaking says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor." That's what we discussed in the first part of our service today, him being wonderful and him being counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As I've already said, we touched on him being wonderful and our counselor in the first part of our service today. And I now would like to focus on the fact that he is the mighty God and the everlasting Father. For the sake of today's message, I'd like to discuss the second announcement concerning Christ first. For I'd like to look at the fact that this Jesus in whom Isaiah was prophesying concerning this one that would be born would be in fact the everlasting Father. And see, this might be a little bit more of a Bible study today, but I believe revelation in some minds and hearts is going to happen, and I believe this is going to be a good thing. But you see, this is where some get confused. For they get the part that this Jesus that was born, this child that is born, that he could be the son. They get that because he's being born and he's the son, or that he could be begotten and therefore he is the babe in Bethlehem. They get the part that he could be Mary and Joseph's little boy and that he can grow up to do all of the things that he did. But where they get confused is how can he be both the Son and the Father? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and this son is going to be the everlasting Father. How can he be both the Son and the Father? And the book says it like this in John chapter 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." The only begotten of the Father. "Full of grace and truth. And once again, the question that some have is, if he's born of the Father and if he's begotten of the Father, then how is he not separate from the Father? If he is born of the Father, begotten of the Father, then how is he not separate from the Father? And I understand that looking at this truth from a place of natural thought might be a little confusing at first glance, but it's important that we understand that he was who he was, and all about Jesus is that he cannot be confined to the parameters of natural thought. For that which is supernatural cannot be bound by the laws and the thought of that which is natural. So allow yourself today the freedom to believe and the faith to believe that this God who was before anything existed and the one who created all that there is might not fit perfectly into the construct of humanistic thinking. And yet it is not blind faith that we're asking of you today. And it is not abstract thought that we are asking of you today as we consider him to be both the Son and the Father. For we are simply asking you to see, and we are simply asking you to believe what the word of the Lord says about himself. For the book says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is" what? "One Lord." There is one Lord. Bible says there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So that lets us know that there is but one God. There is not two gods. There is not three gods. There is not 10 gods. When I was over in India, I asked them, I said, "How many gods does this, you know, nation believe?" And they said, "Millions." And they weren't smiling when they said it. There was a God for everything. We talked about this months ago, but there was rock gods and tree gods and leaf gods. Just anything you looked at, you could make it a God. Everything was a God. But I'm here to let you know that the word of the Lord is very plain. There's not a million different gods. And there's not 27 different million gods. And there's not three gods. There is one God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is one," the Bible says, "that sits on the throne of heaven, and his name is one." And I want to know, does anybody know what his name is? The name of that one God. His name is what? Jesus. The name is Jesus. And so we understand that there is only one God. But the question that is posed today is, how can that one God be both the Father and the Son? And whereas there are many places in Scripture that we could go to in order to prove and show and enlighten and give revelation for what it is that we are discussing on this day, I want us to take a look at the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." This child wasn't from a man. This child was of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Watch, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." There is Holy Ghost. There is synonymous with the Holy Spirit, or it's just referring to God. Spirit of God, the presence of God, the Almighty God. That which is conceived in her is of God. And we find in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, still in the Christmas story, but Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her," this is now the angel talking to Mary specifically. He's already talked to Joseph and said, "Don't put her away, don't get rid of her because she's pregnant. That what she's pregnant with is of the Holy Ghost." And then now the angel's now discussing and talking to Mary about this phenomena that is taking place. "The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost," or God, "shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called" what? "The Son of God." I need your minds here today. So we see that this title, it's he says you're gonna have a child. You're gonna have a child within you, and it is going to be called the Son of God. Now, what you have to understand here and what you see from this text is he said, Mary, you are going to give birth to a physical child, an actual physical human baby. And that human physical child is going to be the Son of God. It is going to be God in flesh. And it's very important that you understand the term Son of God. It is mentioned over 40 times in Scripture. But never one time do we ever read the term God the Son. You see 40 times that it says Son of God, but you never read one time where it says God the Son. For when you read the term Son of God, stay with me, think with me. When you read the term Son of God in Scripture, it is referring to what the angel was speaking to Mary about. It is referring to the human nature of Jesus Christ. It is referring to the fact that the angel said, you're going to give birth to a human being, to a child in flesh and blood, but that child isn't just going to be any old child. That child is going to be God in flesh. It is referring to deity in human nature. But the Son of God never refers to deity alone. Why? Because the Son of God was merely the manifestation of that one God in fleshly form. He was not a separate God. He was not a coexisting God. He was merely the physical representation of the Spirit of God that could not be seen. Bible says God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And because God is spirit, spirit doesn't have hands. Spirit doesn't have feet. Spirit, most importantly to our story, doesn't have blood. And the understanding is that there had to be a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There had to be one who would go to a cross and die on a cross and shed blood, real natural physical blood for the salvation of mankind. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so God, who is spirit, you cannot crucify spirit. Because spirit doesn't have hands that could be nailed to a cross. Spirit doesn't have feet that could be nailed to a cross. Spirit doesn't have a side that could be pierced with a sword. Spirit doesn't have a head that can have a crown of thorns placed upon it. And so the Spirit of God, God who fills all space, God who fills all time, God who is all in all, God, that God said, I've got to make myself a human form. And he was born in the womb of a woman by the name of Mary, and that child, that son, was called the Son of God. It was the fleshly representation of the God who was invisible. It was not a separate God. It was the same God, just manifest in a different form. Hallelujah. In fact, the Word of God makes this understanding very plain when it says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, and I got some stuff I got to say today, so I got to hurry. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Notice now just look at what the Word of the Lord says. These aren't Pastor Anthony's words. These are the words of the Lord. The term Son of God did not come about until the fullness of time was come. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. So this Son of God did not come about. It was not realized. It was not made manifest until the fullness of time was come, or until the prescribed time was fulfilled. which proves to us today that the manifestation of God as the Son of God began at incarnation. It began when Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ. That's when the Son of God began. And if he began at that point, then that discounts any belief that the Son of God or the fleshly nature of God could be co-eternal and coexistent with God. Oh, hallelujah. Because you cannot coexist with God from all of eternity and then begin at birth. Does that make sense? So you have God that existed as God from before time even began, all by himself. The one true living God existed from before time even began. And then it came to the point here at the incarnation. And then that one God robed himself in flesh and became the Son of God. But that Son of God did not exist prior to that. Somebody said amen. In fact, the word of the God, the word of the Lord proves this to us when it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now watch verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. See this? The Son of God, the human form of God, was not a separate God. It was the express image of the one true God who was spirit. All of the characteristics of the one true God were made known in a fleshly form by Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was not separate from God. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the express image in the fleshly form of the God of all heaven who was spirit. In fact, the Bible goes on to say it like this in Colossians 2 and 9. For in him, in who? In Jesus, in the Son of God, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God is spirit, God is love, God is all of these things. And the Bible says that all of who God is dwelled within Jesus. It was encapsulated in physical form bodily. All of his personality, all of his power, all of his dominion, all of his authority, all of his message, all of his thought, all of his purpose, the purpose of God dwelled bodily, dwelled in a physical natural form in the person of Jesus Christ, thereby proving to us today that Jesus was both fully God and fully man at the same time. He was not two distinct people. He was not two distinct entities. There were not two different gods. There was not God the Father that was separate from God the Son. There was simply the one true and living God that took on the form of man in order that he might fulfill his purpose in the world of coming to seek and save that which was lost. Somebody said amen. Jesus himself would speak of this truth when he said in John chapter 10 and verse 29, he said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. But then he said, I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 17 and verse 21, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in you. That they also might be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I given them. Now watch, that they may be one even as we are one. We've got to get this today. The Father was in the Son, and the Son was in the Father. They were one, and they were the same. For the Son of God was merely the simply the physical manifestation of God. So yes, he's going to be born of a woman, and yes, he's going to be the Son. But that same God, that same Jesus who's dwelling in flesh and bone, is also going to be the everlasting Father. In the person of Jesus Christ dwell all the fullness of God. Only in Jesus Christ could humanity and deity be so seemingly reconciled into one divine being, which was God and God alone, and his name is Jesus. Let me show it to you like this. In his humanity, he got hungry. But in his deity, he's going to feed the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. See this now? Same God. In his humanity, he's going to get tired. But in his deity, he's going to give you and I rest. In his humanity, he's going to get thirsty. But in his deity, he's going to turn water into wine. In his humanity, he's going to walk by the sea, but in his deity, he's going to walk on the sea. In his humanity, he's going to have compassion on the sick, but in his deity, he's going to heal the sick. In his humanity, he's going to pray, but in his deity, he's going to answer our prayers. Same God. In his humanity, he's going to be crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb. But in his deity, he's going to rise again on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. I'm glad I know who Jesus is today. For the one who was born in the stable yard truly was the Father of all creation and the Father of all time and God Almighty. And his name is Jesus. Come on, somebody praise him for that revelation now. Somebody praise him like you know who he is. Somebody praise him like you know who he is. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the revelation of who God is? How many are thankful for the revelation of the mighty God in Christ? Oh, hallelujah. And if you're still struggling with it, or maybe you've come out of some other kind of teachings that might would have taught something differently, I'm here to tell you that it is a revelation. I said, it is a revelation, and let the word of the Lord speak to you, and let we could teach you a Bible study, even more depth about this. But my friend, when you see it and when you get it, how many know it hits you? It hits you, and all of a sudden, the light bulbs go off in your eyes, and all of a sudden, you see he's not separate. He's not Jehovah Jr., but he is God, and he is God Almighty, and his name is Jesus. And I don't have to pray to God the Father and then pray to God the Son and then pray to God the Holy Ghost. But all I got to do is pray to Jesus. And when I pray to him, I get the attention of all of who he is. I pray to Jesus. Somebody shout amen. But Isaiah's prophecy didn't stop at this coming Messiah being the everlasting Father. For again, he says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Ooh. The Mighty God. The angel had it right when he said in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I know he's going to have fingers and toes. Mary, I know he's going to keep you up at night crying. And I know he's going to eventually run and play and do a lot of the same things as the other kids his age are going to do. But never forget Mary. Never forget Mary. He's not just flesh and blood. But he is, in fact, the mighty God. The good news today is this. God is with us. The greatest gift we could receive this holiday season is the knowledge that God is with us. I'm here to tell somebody, when we're at our breaking point, God is with us. When we are in a place of confusion, God is with us. When we are lost and in a lonely state, God is with us. In our pain, he's there. In our fear, he's there. In our suffering, he's there. In our weakness, he's there. In our trials, he's there. God is with us because he's more than just a babe in a barn, but he is Emmanuel, God with us. To those who might question the fact that Jesus Christ was in fact God, I take you to the words of Jesus himself when he said this in John chapter 8 and verse 56. I get this now. Jesus speaking, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him. So Jesus is there talking to a bunch of people, and he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews back to him, thou art not even 50 years old, and you say you have seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Jesus, the one in flesh, who wasn't even 50 years old, and Abraham was like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. This Jesus in flesh says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not only, I know you think I'm not even 50 years old, but not only was I there with Abraham, I was before. I was before Abraham. So here we find Jesus, and Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And so Jesus Christ was claiming to be the I am. Now let's rewind time several hundred years, and let's go back to the book of Exodus. And here we find God talking to Moses and telling him that he wants him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. This is God. This is way before the incarnation. This is way before the New Testament. This is all the way back. And the Spirit of God speaking with Moses. And Moses asks God this question. He's talking to God out of a burning bush. God's the burning bush. He's talking to Moses. Exodus 3:13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. They're going to say back to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Because I can't really tell them that a burning bush is talking to me. And God said unto Moses, tell them the I am that I am is my name. And is who I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. Oh. So now watch now. Let's put it all together. Here we have the God of the Old Testament saying his name is the I am. But then we get all the way in the future, thousands of years, and we find Jesus claiming to be the I am. You cannot have two I ams. I've come to tell somebody that the I am of the Old Testament is the same as the I am of the New Testament. That's why Jesus would say, I know you don't understand who I am. You're looking at me at 30 years of age, but I'm going to tell you, before Abraham was, I am, because the God of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. It's not two separate, distinct beings, but they are one. Jesus is the mighty God. He is the mighty God. Jesus Christ was on trial for blasphemy. And look what it says, Mark chapter 14 and verse 61. He's on trial for blasphemy, claiming to be the Messiah. And so we get to the Mark chapter 14 and 61. It says, but he held his peace. They're asking him all kinds of questions, and he's just not talking. He's not answering. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? In other words, he's saying, are you really claiming to be God? And Jesus said, I am. Jesus, you were born 30 years ago in a barn in Bethlehem. Are you telling us that you are the one who created the earth? I am. Jesus, we know Mary is your mother. We know Joseph is your father. Are you telling us that you are the one who put the sun and the moon in its proper place? It's exactly what I'm telling you. Jesus, we know that you grew up in Nazareth. Are you trying to tell us you are the Messiah? I am. Look at what Jesus says, John chapter 8 and verse 58. Again, Jesus saith to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I know you saw me working in Joseph's carpenter shop, and I know you saw me playing with your kids in the field, but before there was ever a person named Abraham, before there ever was an Isaac, before there ever was a Jacob, I was, I am. I've come to tell somebody today that the baby who we see in the paintings, the baby we see in the pageantry, in the presents at Christmas time is in fact God. Therefore, we should be worshiping him and obeying him as such. He is the mighty God in flesh. This newborn baby boy that Joseph is holding in his arms is the one, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and 6, who is the one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The child who after his birth needed his diapers to be changed and needed to be fed like any other child would one day grow up to speak these words in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. All power. The child had power over everybody. This child had power over everything. He is in a category all by himself. Why? Because he is God, the mighty God. This mighty God whose name is Jesus rules over angels. He rules over demons. He rules over every man. He rules over every woman, every teenager, and every child. Jesus rules over that which is natural, and he rules over that which is supernatural. He rules over that which is in heaven, and he rules over that which is on the earth, and he rules over that which is under the earth. This child that is born is God, and he is God over all the nations, and he is God over every king, and he is God over every kingdom, and he is God over every prince and every queen and every country and every land and every governor and every president. He is the only one who truly has all power in heaven and in earth. He is God, and his name is Jesus. At his word, storms are calmed and the crooked is made straight. At his word, the sick are made whole and the dead are brought back to life. At his word, the blind are made to see and the deaf are made to hear. At his word, sinners are forgiven and captives are set free. There's nobody else in history that can make those kind of claims. There's nobody else in the pages of time that can duplicate what my God has done. Why? Because Jesus Christ alone is God. There's nobody before him. There's nobody beside him. There's nobody like him. There is no other gods but him. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. There is one throne in heaven, and there is one that sits on that throne, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Stand to your feet and give him praise. Stand to your feet and give that one God whose name is Jesus praise in this house. Come on, somebody, lift him up. Come on, somebody, if you're grateful for revelation of the oneness of God and that he is the mighty God and he is the everlasting Father.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Church, everything we are hinges on that revelation right there. I said everything that we are hinges on that revelation right there. If you don't know who he is, then nothing else matters. If you don't know who he is, then the blood doesn't work. If you don't know who he is, then mercy can't be applied. But if you think it comes from a man, it ain't gonna change us. But if you understand it's God, if you understand he is God, and when blood was shed, it wasn't just man's blood, but it was the blood of Almighty God. Shed for all humanity. Everything we are, our whole foundation is based upon the revelation of the oneness of God and the mighty God in Christ. So I think we could do a little bit better now as we lift up our hands, as we give him to worship and magnify. Bosataye. Ha 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 ha. Yes, God. Woo! I'm so thankful, Brother Lamont, that when I'm in need, I don't have to call on Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh, but that's what they understood him because they didn't understand what his name was. They understood his characteristics. They understood his might. They understood his abilities. And so they would take all of his characteristics and assign each characteristic a name. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Tiskanu. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah this. Jehovah that. Jehovah the other. And whenever they got into a specific need and they needed that specific characteristic of the one true God, they would call upon that particular Jehovah, the name ascribed to that particular characteristic of Jehovah. But I'm glad when I'm in need, I don't have to call on Jehovah Jireh. I'm glad when I'm in need, I don't have to call on this, that, or the other, because all I got to say is Jesus. And when I say Jesus, I get the attention of all of who God is. I get the attention of every characteristic of his power, every characteristic of his anointing, every characteristic of his being. All I got to say is Jesus. Why? Because that's the name of the Almighty God. That's why when we're baptized, we're not to be baptized in the title that represents a characteristic of God. Yes, he's Father. Yes, that's a characteristic of him. Yes, he's Son. That is who he was, and a characteristic and a manifestation of him. And yes, he is the Holy Ghost. That was a manifestation of the one true God. But when we are to be baptized, the Bible says everything you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of Jesus. My friend, when we are baptized, we are to be baptized in the name, not the characteristics, not the attributes, but the name. So that's why you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all of your sins. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Ooh. And what I feel so strongly in my spirit right now is that one God desires to introduce himself to somebody in this room in a way that he's never introduced, or in a way that you've never allowed him to introduce himself to you before. That one God who has all power. It is the will of that one God to make manifest his might, his strength, his anointing in your life right now. Well, what do I need to do? All you need to do is say his name. Call that name that is above every name. Because when I speak that name, it gets the attention of the one who carved out the Grand Canyon. When I speak that name, I get the attention of the one who said, Jupiter, you look good right about here. When I speak that name, I get the attention of the one in whom the oceans say we can only come this far, but then we got to stop. Why? Because that's what he told us to do. When I speak the name Jesus, I get the attention of the one whom lightning has to listen to. And lightning says, I'll flash across the sky at the will and the word of Messiah, God Almighty. Don't tell me he can't minister to you today. Don't tell me he can't do to you what you need him to do today. The oceans listen to him. Lightning listens to him. The Bible says snow listens to him. Hey, I'm here to tell somebody he created all. That is all. He's done everything for everybody, and he can do it for you. So now we're going to open this altar now. I'm just going to open this altar to anybody in this room who wants to have an encounter with the mighty God in Christ. Anybody in this